Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Barry Shoub, the former executive director of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases. If that wasn't enough, also Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Professor Shoub, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Simon. Hi.
So, Prof, yesterday, I think Benjamin DeVette, it was, asked us about recovery rates. I think he had enough of hearing the doom and gloom scenarios and wanted to know, okay, so if you get it, what are your chances of recovering from it? And I thought that would be an interesting angle to tackle this afternoon.
Absolutely. No, well, there is really, it's basically good news. A great majority of individuals will recover from infection without any problems afterwards. In fact, it's estimated that at least 50% and maybe even more than 50% who are infected don't have any symptoms at all. So there's no recovery. They just don't have symptoms. Mm. This obviously depends on age. It depends off the any underlying illnesses and so on. And those who do develop symptoms, 80 to 90% will have mild symptoms and will recover without any problems. You know, the usual, the fever, cough, a dry cough, muscle pains, fatigue, headache, loss of taste and smell is an interesting one. But they'll get over this over maybe 1 to 3 weeks and they won't have no problems at all. It's a small minority. It's about 10% who require oxygen and require hospitalization. And of those, a smaller percent, even about 1 to 2% will need intensive care. And mortality, probably a fraction of a percent or maybe 1%, depending again on age and underlying illnesses. So overall, the disease is not a very severe, certainly much, much milder than the earlier coronavirus, which caused SARS, you know, the 2003 outbreak and the 2012 MERS outbreak. There is a certain percentage, probably about 10% people who do develop significant illness and will not recover. They develop what's called long COVID. It's a small percentage, maybe even less than 10%, they will have persistent symptoms, mainly things like fatigue, persistent fatigue and muscle aches, shortness of breath, maybe headache, interesting loss of smell sometimes, quite a few months afterwards, and then very few cases they may have the lungs involved, the heart, kidney, brain, what you call multi-organ involvement. But the majority will recover without the long COVID. It's interesting, long COVID is part of our advisory committee deliberations to actually define it and see how common it is, but it doesn't seem to be that common. But of course, the question that I'm sure is a corollary to this, this question is, once you're infected, are you immune? And, I think we may have discussed it in the previous one, but I'll just go over it very quickly again. It's still, I must say, it's still under review. Even though we're, 11 months down since the infection started, we're still not absolutely sure. And we're not, you know, does it follow the, what you call the endemic human coronavirus, which causes a common cold? Because if it does, the immunity there is very, very poor. And this is also a respiratory infection. It's poor because we know we get colds every winter. Most of us do anyway. And there's very little immunity from those coronaviruses. The ones which cause a severe disease, the SARS of 2003, the MERS of 2012, there the immunity was actually pretty good, long-lasting and effective, because it was obviously a much more serious illness. So where does COVID fit in? Does it fit into the endemic human coronavirus with short-lived, inefficient immunity, or the more severe SARS MERS coronavirus, long-lasting, very and efficient immunity? And this is still being reviewed. There are certainly genuine second infections, proven genetically to be second infections. But so far, there's been relatively rare. I think about a dozen worldwide have been reported. But on the other hand, it's very difficult to prove because you need to be able to genetically isolate and genetically characterize the viruses from the first and the second infection. That's not easy to do. So it may be a bit more common than the 12 that have been reported. But we don't know. The jury is still out. What has been shown, though, in a number of individuals, a number of studies, actually, that people do seem to have neutralizing antibodies. In other words, antibodies that do neutralize the virus up to about even 6 months after infection. Now, if that is everybody, we don't know. How common those neutralizing antibodies in people? Again, that's still being studied. Another study, also a positive one, showed that there are what you call memory cells, You know, when you produce antibodies, they're produced by what you call lymphocytes. And there are memory lymphocytes which remember, as the name suggests, that you had been infected before. And they can also demonstrate these memory cells also up to about 6 months. So there are some positive signs that there is post-infection immunity, in other words, immunity after you've had the disease. That still has to be established. So we still caution people. And this is very important, that if you've had the infection, you still can't take risks. We haven't really, really proven is the immunity after infection. And you really need to behave as if there isn't until we have more information.
Prof, thank you for that today. As per usual, I've got a request about what I hope to chat about tomorrow. We have kind of touched on it in the past, but I'm thinking, given that December is just around the corner, many of us are planning holidays to either the Cape or the Eastern Cape, be it Plet or the Cape, all of which are experiencing massive and hugely concerning spikes in COVID-19 infections. And maybe you need to advise us as to how to holiday safely, or in fact, whether we should be going.
Okay, absolutely. We'll do that tomorrow, Simon.